It's the lost album. When I went to Nashville, to my objective was to hang out with George Jones and to hang out with Roland White, because I was listening a lot to both of them, and they just really moved me a lot. And I was, you know, hoping to get a record deal and a publishing deal. And so my roommates played at the Grand Ole Opry with Wilma Lee Cooper, who was a great singer.
Remember her?
And I met George a couple of times backstage at the Opry, but he was kind of tore up. That was in his wilder days. And so he, you know, I couldn't. I couldn't like say, hey, gosh, I'm a big fan. Can I like come over to your house and sing with you and hang out? And, you know, so I didn't do that. But Roland, I went to the Bluegrass Club, the Station Inn where he was playing, and, you know, introduced myself and I sat in and he invited me over to the house and I started going over to his place and just singing with him. And I loved the stuff he and Clarence did in their band, the Kentucky Colonels. They really had a great harmony thing going. And that was a great bluegrass band. And Clarence kind of took the style from his hero, Doc Watson, and added his own great creative touch to it. And then from Clarence, Tony Rice went on from there, because Tony was a big Clarence fan also. So anyway, towards the end of my stay, where I thought, all right, I'm not cutting it here in Nashville, and I you know, decided to move up to New York. And before I left, Roland said, well, hey, why don't we record together? Let's do an album. So I thought, great. So we ended up in Earl Scruggs's basement, where his son Steve had a studio, and he engineered it. And Earl would bring down coffee, like on the silver serving tray, and he'd be wearing an apron, and he'd have a nice shirt and a tie on. And it was
Wait, are you serious?
I'm serious. And it was surreal. You know, he was just trying to be a good host. It's like, well, do y'all want some coffee? I'll bring you some coffee. It was on China, you know, and so it was just, and I was so nervous about the whole thing. I mean, I was just as, I felt like rocks were in my shoulders. And also the first day I went over to record, there was Red Allen sitting there, and he was smoking a pipe, and I just thought, oh my gosh, this is Red Allen. I don't want him to hear me. I'm going to sound like a Girl Scout singing in here compared to, you know, this great hardcore bluegrass singer. So anyway, he hung out for a while and then he split. I think he just stopped by. You know, I don't know if he heard Roland was going to be there. He just wanted to give his homage to Earl. But so we recorded this album, and I wrote a couple of things for it, and then I'd have some song ideas, and Roland would suggest some things. And there were a few things that he said, we need some lead. Why don't I call my friend Marty Stewart to play acoustic lead? So I was like, oh my gosh, that'd be great. And Marty came over, and I'd seen him a few times with Lester Flatt and just thought he was the coolest guy in the world. And he was just really nice and did a great job, of course. And so when I left Nashville, I got a bunch of cassette copies made, and I sent them around all the bluegrass labels that I knew of, and they all said, hey, thanks, we like the record, but... And they all said, you know, you're not a known bluegrass artist. You're an unknown quantity, and you're not on the bluegrass circuit. So it was this catch-22, and it was like, you know, stay in touch, you know, play us, you send us, feel free to. And so that was my first taste of rejection in the music biz. So in New York, I just was doing, I had some day jobs, and at night, there were like five country bars in New York, and I met Buddy Miller, who had a band, and Larry Campbell, and Sean Colvin ended up playing with Buddy, and there was just a cool scene, but I just thought, oh, well, that record's not coming out, but someday I'll have a record deal, and I'll, you know, this record will come out. And then when that finally happened, and I called Roland, I said, hey, I've got a deal on Warner Brothers Records, you know, let's put this record out. And he goes, well, great, you've got the master tape, right? And it's like, no, I thought you had it. And it's like, I don't have it. And so Earl's son, sadly, Steve, had passed away, and we did not know where the tape was. And then finally several months, so I just thought, hey, that's a shame, you know, and I can't even find a cassette of it. If I had a cassette, I could get somebody to fix it up and we could, you know, put it out. And so Roland was sitting in with me at the Station Inn, and as he was leaving, he said, oh, my wife found a tape with our names on it at the bottom of a box. I think it's something we did. So it's like, oh, wow. So it was this session. And so here it is. And so now it would have been my first album, but it'll be my 30th. And Time Flies will be my 31st. And Time Flies kind of shows and I didn't plan it this way, really, but it's just interesting of the, you know, time has flown, and the title and just the styles of stuff on the record, to me at least, has a significance.